Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we're writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show. Welcome back, everybody. Today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 3 of Peacemaker. Tyson, initial thoughts?
This one was fun. It was pretty much set in the new dimension, and it was kind of fun to see Peacemaker trying to establish himself in this new world.
Yeah, kind of BS his way through it, you know, figure out how his norm or how that version of Chris kind of operates in that world.
Yeah. The surprising start to this episode took us back to three years ago. This is like pre Courts of Maltese and Suicide Squad. And we get a shot of Harcourt getting out of bed, and you totally called it. I didn't see it at first, but she was sleeping with Rick Flag Jr.
Yeah,
which was kind of surprising. Like, I didn't realize there was a thing there, but yeah, I'm curious if there's like some conflicts around that. If like, I don't know, I'm curious if that has something to do with her aversion to him in this current universe,
yeah,
or something around that. But I didn't realize she had a past with this other guy, like, you know, a reason to have a vendetta against Peacemaker other than just him being a jerk.
Yeah, it's quite the reveal. It kind of lends itself to more of a, okay, I can see why she seems kind of dead set on not being with him.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't, I mean, it adds on to it in the new universe when he's kind of acting like a paranoid boyfriend to Harcourt when Chris comes and visits her at her work, and he's just like cannot stand the thought of them talking.
Well, and that scene was so funny to me because in Suicide Squad, like, Rick Flag Jr. is such a badass. Like, he's super serious. Yeah, he just handles business. Like, it's always kind of about like just doing the right thing. Like, he's just a guy who knows what's right, what he needs. And that's how you get like this crazy clash of morals between him and Peacemaker, which an excellent scene, right?
Right.
But he is such a dork in this universe.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Crazy step down.
Yeah. just like kind of weak and like insanely jealous boyfriend.
Right.
It's fun to watch.
Totally.
But yeah, that's kind of where they jump to. We get Harcourt and Rick Flag, that whole reveal title sequence, and then boom, it's back to Peacemaker, who now has a date. He gets woken up by his brother and kind of gets a bit of a playful interaction with him, where he's just like, dude, like, you were so gone last night. Like, why are you still asleep? And then his brother gets real concerned, and we find out that it seems like this universe's Peacemaker had a bit of a substance abuse problem, particularly with pills. And Keith worries about him. Like, it's pretty clear, which is like another step of wholesome. But maybe like a bit of sadness for this other Peacemaker. And I think starts to set up maybe like the perhapsable dark side to this universe, because what I've tended to notice is when you introduce an alternate dimension into a storyline, typically, and this isn't always the case, but there's some kind of sinister something happening.
Right. Which, like, you know, it looks amazing on the surface.
Right.
But yeah.
But there's like something brewing that, you know, eventually it all falls apart. This isn't right for us or whatnot. And I'm not saying this is the way it's going to go. I honestly kind of hope it doesn't, because that feels a bit played out. I hope, and would imagine Jaden's gun would have like some fun twist on this. But I think it's more setting up who Peacemaker was in this universe and kind of the darkness behind that. And I think it's a great representation of how much Peacemaker has changed in our universe.
Oh, for sure. It seems like we kind of got a more beginning of season one Peacemaker is their version of him.
Right.
Like, jumping ahead here, but when he does go visit Harcourt at her work and they're kind of going on a walk and they're talking, they talk about, you know, Chris is like, I want to try being back together. And you kind of learn a bit more about who he used to be through Harcourt being like, yeah, you usually change your mind in 3 days. Like, you really hurt me last time.
Right. You were sleeping around on me.
Yeah. And she says something along the lines of like, oh, you've really changed. And so it's clear that maybe our peacemaker is a bit more mature than their version.
Oh, yeah.
So like, it could be viewed at this point in time as like a win-win. Like, he gets a universe that loves him and they get a peacemaker that has matured.
Right. Right. Because you're right. It's kind of the worst of both worlds, where I guess in each world you get that version, right? You get like a world that loves him, but he's just like a self-entitled douchebag. But in his own universe, like, he's really grown as an individual, but people kind of hate him.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a fun sequence to see him getting, I mean,
the peace cycle. Yeah.
The peace cycle. It was, oh my gosh, a crazy looking patriotic motorcycle with missiles on the front.
Yeah.
And he's just riding around town enjoying it. And people are like freaking out. They love seeing Peacemaker in public. Like, right. He is beloved. Whereas, like, the only interaction we got in the previous season was the janitor who didn't recognize him.
Seriously.
Until he did, as the racist superhero.
Literally.
It's fun to see that. And there's a moment where you can almost see it, like, go into his head. But you make a good point about him being mature. I think that's a good word for it. I don't think that's something that's going to really, you know, be his downfall in this.
No, I really wonder where the downside of this universe is going to come into play, because it's all going pretty well. Like you said, people love him. There are like murals painted of him and his dad and brother.
It's pretty excellent.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll be like the mid-season, you know, midpoint of the story turnaround, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, something starts turning sour and it doesn't seem like it's all that cracked up to be. But he keeps saying, right? Like, best dimension ever. He's loving this.
Well, and you kind of pointed it out, but it seems like all of the characters in this new dimension are really, really, like, brightly lit.
Yeah.
And Chris's wardrobe is a bit darker, and there's not as much light on him, or it's moodier lighting. But I kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just seeing things, but like, towards the end, it kind of felt like he was more evenly lighted with the people around him. It wasn't as, like, jarring.
Oh, yeah. I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. And I do think these are intentional choices by the cinematographer. I mean, there's a pretty stark difference, at the very least, between the lighting in our dimension and this alternate kind of happier dimension for Chris. I like the cutting back and forth that they have in this story between him just living it up, enjoying this new dimension, and then we get kind of the two storylines. We get sort of the friends sort of recovering after this crazy night of partying, and just how they're all just super dumb and at each other's throats still, but right. Friends nonetheless, right? I love that energy where they're all just like who the heck is this person? Everybody's like getting mad at Vigilante for wanting to name Spider-Fax.
And yeah.
Economos walks out of there after all this, and we get the second storyline with him getting the team at Argus, and they're like, all right, we're not getting beat by this eagle again.
No, seriously. Okay, I wanted to bring it up, and I looked up character names to kind of just make sure I wasn't going crazy. So the guy they hire to kill the eagle, who just loves killing eagles, apparently, his name is Red St. Wild, and he is played by Michael Rooker, who played a villain named Savant in The Suicide Squad, who died at the very beginning.
The canon Suicide Squad, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they even make it, if it wasn't canon enough from the flashbacks, they even made it more canon mentioning Corto Maltese in this episode, right? So, frankly, I'm indifferent. I think it's fine. I feel like Michael Rooker's role as Savant in The Suicide Squad was small enough, and the costume design and makeup is drastically different enough that I don't think it's going to be like a bother for most people.
Well,
I'm sure there'll be people that'll be like, ah, what the heck? But like, I don't know.
I mean, if enough fans got upset about Frank Grillo's black hair.
Yeah, no kidding. But like you had brought up when I mentioned that Michael Rooker was in the show, you had brought up the idea maybe he's in the alternate dimension. And I was like, oh yeah, that would make sense because he would be alive.
He's very much in our dimension.
Yeah, this is not the case. So,
which you make a good point. They're both relatively minor characters, it seems like. And I genuinely would not have put that together if you hadn't pointed it out. But it seems like he'll just be kind of comedic relief on both ends.
Right. So, I mean, it seems like it'll work, right? I mean, people are smart. It's fine. You know, there are plenty of movies. I literally watched a movie the other day where Tilda Swinton played three different characters. And like, that's just how it was. So people are fine, right?
People are fine. I mean, it's such a small thing, but at the very least, it's a fun little tidbit for those who don't know.
Totally.
And yeah, what a zany character for them to like be getting like a SWAT team and everything. And then they just get like this eagle killing expert.
Yeah, just some random.
Who's just like a really white play on a Indian chief kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm excited to see how that plays out. But like the big action set piece of this episode is definitely a group of people try to bomb the DMV, which is like such a random funny choice for a government building to sabotage. But they do it, and it's kind of like a peacemaker's moment to shine, where he goes in, he defeats all of the terrorists and stops the bomb, and their getaway helicopter gets crushed by his brother, which I looked up his superhero name. It's Captain Triumph, which is kind of dope. It looks like looks like an Iron Man costume or suit.
It really does, and totally flies like Iron Man, and that is a kick-ass name. Holy cow, Captain Triumph and Peacemaker. And does the White Dragon have a new name in this universe?
If he does, I don't think we've heard it yet.
Okay, fair enough. We have yet to see him suited up. We've seen the murals, but I love the break into this action sequence because we kind of have this heart to heart between Hardcore and Peacemaker, and it kind of seems like they're reconciling things, even though he's a completely different person, literally.
Yeah.
And you know, how long can he keep up the facade type deal? But it's a wholesome moment where it's like, maybe there could be something here. She's somebody who's seemingly well adjusted and into him to an extent, whereas the other one is not either of those things. No. And he's very much into her and a lot better than this universe's Peacemaker. So like, it could be a thing. And then right as they're having this moment, a bunch of guys are running across the lawn. And my immediate thought was they're running from something. Peacemaker's gonna have to fight. Like, it was clear something was about to happen.
Yeah.
But one of the guys just trips and blows up. And yeah, it was such a crazy like introduction to
so
this
jarring
new action sequence. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because he was just one of the terrorists carrying a bomb and he just tripped and activated it. And I was like, that'd probably be me, though.
Yeah, literally. Just seriously. Super relatable. But
yeah, Peacemaker kicks into action, man.
Yeah, that was really fun. Good bit of just like classic Peacemaker just doing what he does best. Before I forget, though, we were talking about the other, like our normal dimension. I do think it's important to point out that Adebayo and Harcourt had a really good talk about Peacemaker, Chris, right? Adebayo's like, he's in love with you. Why don't you go for him? Like, why not? And she's like kind of in denial. And she's like, I'm trying to figure my stuff out. It was kind of just a good way. And she's like, there's just no way that we could ever be together.
Right.
And it kind of seems like after this episode, it's because of Rick Flagg Jr., which just adds another layer of the impact of that death. Because in this season already, we have Rick Flagg Sr. dealing with it. And think about it. The beginning of last episode was about him figuring that out. The beginning of this episode is Harcourt finding out that Harcourt and Rick Flagg Jr. were together.
Right.
So it's like both episodes, we kind of got a glimpse into how Rick Flagg Jr.'s death has affected people.
The impact. Yeah. I'm hoping they show his death a couple more times. It's a great scene, but yeah, they're really hammering it home.
Yeah, no kidding.
One possible plot point I did want to discuss, because I don't think they're done with the new universe yet, even though Peacemaker ends the episode by, you know, leaving home to finish up some things. Do you think it's possible that they follow him into this new dimension and Rick Flag Sr. gets to see his son? And there's some kind of like conflict around that?
That would be powerful. That's a great idea. Oh, geez. Yeah, because I mean, they're clearly, it seems like they're going to find it. Like, they got the whole squad pulling up. And they even got Judo Master. He's back, which is a super fun reveal.
Yeah, they called him Rick Jagger.
Yeah. So he's back. You're right. It seems like they're going to find it. So now it's a matter of, do they find the door that leads to this dimension where Rick's son is alive? That is such a good point. I wonder. Yeah, wow.
It'd be kind of wild. My biggest question ending this episode was, I obviously it's going to lead to conflict. That's the point of driving the story forward. But I was like, why did Peacemaker leave? Because things were pretty big chilling and he could have just like stayed. And
right. What loose ends did he want to tie up?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Like, what could be worth it other than Eagly?
Oh, definitely, good right? point. Good point. Yeah.
But
he's one of a kind. He's not in the other universe as far as we've seen.
Not that we've seen. So that would make sense. But it seemed like he had it all together, and you know, obviously there's going to be a conflict here, but hypothetically, if he had stayed in this universe and they had found the door, even if they had gotten in, could they really have been able to find him?
I doubt it. There's so many of those doors, it looked like.
Right.
There's no way.
So I feel like to an extent he'd be safe, but it's looking like the likelihood is obviously a confrontation at his house, which I'm excited for next episode. That was an exciting way to kind of end this.
But like, okay, speaking of getting doors mixed up, you'd pointed out that at the very end of the episode, Chris walks through the door into what we assumed was going to be his dimension, but it's like a bedroom, whereas we're pretty sure that the portal in our normal dimension is in like a hallway.
Yeah.
So like, what is that about? Was it the room that, like, we got the flashback of him and Keith as kids? Would that have been it?
No, because it had the little twin beds, and that was a full-size bed. I'm pretty sure this is, like, his dad's house, because it seemed like it was the bed he woke up in at the beginning of this season.
But was it always...
I don't think it was in the room, though. It's possible we both just didn't catch it. Yeah. We're kind of dumb, but it seemed off.
Okay, yeah, maybe but, we're...
I also don't think we've gotten that perspective. We've always just seen them walking into the door. I don't think we've seen them walking out.
That's true.
I'm genuinely just trying to remember the scene with the Eagly attacking the squad, because that was all set around the door, and I don't remember the bed being there is my biggest...
Yeah. I mean, maybe we're...
we're reading
I guess
into
we'll
this
get
too
our
much.
Answer next week, but it definitely seems like the idea of the final shot was to set up that Peacemaker arrived right as Argus was pulling up. So that's definitely, if he is in fact in his normal universe, that seems like the conflict they're setting up.
Right. Which will be kind of epic. I mean, for one, we got Economos on this team, which yeah. I don't think Peacemaker is aware of up until this point.
No, because he only knows that he's being surveilled by Rick Flag Sr. I don't think he knows that Economos is part of it, though.
Yeah, it'll be kind of fun to see how that conflict goes down. And once again, any showdown between Peacemaker and Judo Master, I'm in for.
Totally.
It's been so much fun.
I'm excited for the rematch too. Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty solid episode. I was curious though, how do you think Peacemaker did trying to establish himself in a new universe? Because it's kind of like trying to learn the rules in a culture that you like didn't grow up in, but it's like not okay to ask dumb questions.
Yeah, on the surface, it seems like he's doing a good job. I am positive that later on in the season, he's going to fumble and it's going to screw things up majorly. But yeah, we'll see.
It seems almost certain for sure. But I loved the interaction between him and Keith where he's just all like, pop quiz time. And he's asking him where Harcourt works and if he can borrow his truck. And he's right. Just like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more of it. And they'll probably like figure out like, okay, something's up, right? But yeah, before we wrap up the episode, though, there's been some news this week. And James Gunn, last Wednesday, announced the official title and release date of the Superman sequel.
Whoa!
And it's a lot sooner than we thought. So it's going to hit theaters July 9th, 2027. So we'll kind of be getting like Superman this summer, Supergirl next summer, and then next Superman summer after that. The official title is Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Whoa!
Which is interesting because... That's and our Superman watch movie. Through. Yeah, we watched Superman Man of Tomorrow, the animated one.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously it'll be very different, but the picture they had posted with it, with the announcement, was one of Superman and Lex Luthor in like his mech suit, which
wow.
If you've read comics, seen the TV shows, or even played like the Lego games, you know that like Lex has this kind of big green mech suit that kind of he uses to match Superman's power.
Right. Typically with some kind of kryptonite capability.
Right. And we're kind of getting spoiled with the DC content. I mean, we have Peacemaker going on right now. We have Lanterns in early next year. We have Supergirl that summer. And then I'm pretty sure Clayface is in between Supergirl and Superman Man of Tomorrow.
They're already shooting Clayface, yeah.
And then that October, we have Batman Part 2, I think, is when it's supposed to come out.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to be like a feast for DC fans.
Yeah.
But I am curious your opinion on Lex Luthor. From this photo, one could easily assume that Lex Luthor will be the main villain of the Superman sequel. What are your thoughts on that?
Truly unopposed, if that's the case.
Okay.
For one, they did it a few times in the early Superman iterations.
Very true.
I don't think it never worked in those. I mean, obviously, there's some things that could have been done better, but I think Lex is the classic Superman villain, and it's easy to go back to him. I loved Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor.
His
performance was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And they clearly set up a possibility for future shenanigans with the end of this movie and that great following shot of him, you know, getting carted away in the car. And
yeah.
Mexu would be
interesting. This time he won't be, like, supported by the government.
Right.
He'll be kind of going rogue, I bet.
Which would be an interesting way to attack this because his whole thing was, you know, kind of using his platform of like political and or social power on top of his, you know, billions of dollars and intelligence to get Superman. But it would be like kind of fighting two sides now, which Lex has never backed down from. But it would be interesting to see him as a villain. I think I would be opposed if he was the only villain.
I was going to say, I bet it'll be a case of similar to Superman 2, where he is the villain, but there are other villains at play.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any, like, wish list villains? I don't know.
I mean, they've been talking about bringing in Jason Momoa as Lobo, and that would be such a fun team up.
Yeah, he's supposed to show up in Supergirl. So he'll be set up there, which will be cool. I don't know. Okay, think about it. If they're setting up a Justice League movie, I feel like the big bad has got to be something like a Brainiac or a Darkseid, something of that nature. Right.
Doomsday. It's all.
Yeah. Do you think that they will try and set that up in this sequel? Like, do you think we'll be far enough? Do you think we'll be far enough down the line that they can start doing that? It's hard to tell where the fandom will be in 2 years, but
oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's an excellent question. Personally, sitting right here right now, I would not be opposed to that.
Yeah, same.
And
same.
I think that's because they have enough superheroes set up and going to be set up, right? A full Supergirl movie and a Lantern show, I think, are more than enough to get the Justice League at the very least off the ground. it's infinitely more than Zack Snyder's kind of had fleshing out their characters, which, once again, there are faults to his universe, and I don't hate it in its entirety like some people do.
Yeah.
But I do feel like that is a strong foundation for this, and honestly, similar-ish to how Marvel started out before the Avengers.
Right, because you're right, they had first Iron Man, then they kind of had solo movies for the members, or I guess in this case it'll be solo projects if we're including Lanterns. And then they had Iron Man 2 and then the first Avengers. So it could be a very similar thing. It seems like they're kind of hitting a wall with the Batman from what it seems like. They're just kind of having a hard time finding a way to differentiate it and be something that someone wants to see.
Oh, for sure.
And I get that. I would not want to be in their shoes trying to figure that out.
I mean, it has had some ups and downs over the years, and it sounds like, you know, obviously we're getting the Batman 2 sequel, which is very exciting, and that'll remain its kind of legacy title.
Yeah.
But there are just swirling rumors about who is going to be cast as this universe's new Batman.
Right. Do you think they could possibly pull off a Justice League, like the first Justice League movie, without Batman in it?
Easily. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's because I think as a character, Batman is kind of averse to the Justice League. In a lot of the cartoons, he kind of, you know, plays along with them and everything.
But that's
the Batman
true.
That they've built out outside of, you know, the Zack Snyder universe, where he builds the Justice League and kind of has control over it in a sense.
Right.
He's one that's always been one to work alone. He doesn't play well with others. I mean, there's that whole bit in Crisis on Infinite Earths where he's kind of fighting with the Bat family. Sorry, like fighting against the Bat family, sort of, right? Because I work alone kind of deal. And they're like, just let us help you.
Yeah.
I feel like if they lean into that energy and kind of the shambles that the Justice Gang is in right now, trying to pull themselves and like bring real superheroes together and like interviewing just B-side superheroes.
Yeah, like, nobodies.
Like it is such like a ragtag group. I can totally see Bruce Wayne being like, not for me until, you know, some world ending whatever happens. But to answer your question, yes, I do believe they could, you know, tastefully remove Batman.
I feel
Batman
like they'd be able to pull it off okay. I could see it working out. Obviously, I would like Batman to be in the first Justice League movie in this universe. Batman's my favorite superhero, but I get it. Like, if it's too tricky right now, I don't know. I think it is possible. I agree.
Right. And I mean, James Gunn seems like a man who desperately just wants things to like be perfect in a sense. He very much wants the stories to flow and the fans to be on board. And once again, home run with Superman. He's really like brought a lot of people back. I can understand why there might be some nerves about wanting to get Batman right, because I would say personally that those are the three biggest superheroes ever would be Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man. Every plebeian, yep. Every anybody knows them and some version of their backstory.
For
right?
sure. Yeah, it's hard. It's got to be so difficult writing such a universally known character like those three. But he obviously killed it with Superman, and I'm okay waiting for Batman if it means they have to wait to get it right.
For sure. I am curious, though, what would your thoughts be if they actually did the Man of Tomorrow storyline in Superman, just followed it beat for beat comic book?
I personally think that if they followed closely to the animated movie, it could come across as retreading old ground, because a lot of that movie was about his identity as an alien on Earth and coming clean about it and not being ashamed of it. And a big plot point in this Superman movie was how he's an alien and people having to deal with the fact that while he was technically sent here to rule over Earth, that's not who he is, and he has to be not ashamed of who he is and what he's become. And I feel like that's a big plot point in the animated Man of Tomorrow. So I do think it's just a nice sounding name. I doubt that they'll be following the plot at all. Maybe Parasite will be the main bad guy. I didn't even think about that. Parasite and Lex Luthor would work, I guess.
Would also be unopposed. I mean, maybe in the animated version, what a fantastic villain.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll... Yeah, because in his mech suit, Lex could fight against Parasite. Maybe they'll team up. That'd be kind of cool.
And it would make a little bit more sense in this one just because... Or maybe a little bit less sense. I mean, in the other one, they didn't have much of a history, right? So
right. It's not as like they impactful. Were easy to do that.
So it would be probably some fancy writing and or like a really compelling moment if they decided to team up.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I see it. Yeah, I'm excited.
But yeah, exciting news. That's crazy. 2027 is insane.
Yeah, super fun.
Well, we really appreciate y'all for joining us for another episode of Peacemaker. Next week, we're going to be breaking down the fourth episode in this very exciting series, and we hope to catch you there.
See you.